This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The national economy, the global economy, in recovery from the pandemic, in contest with the Russian Federation and its ally, the People's Republic of China, over Ukraine, in the challenge of energy shortage, I turn to immediately what we know about the fear, the anxiety, the expectation of a slowdown, a.k.a. recession. Liz Peek, who reports for The Hill, a columnist, and Fox News, a columnist, much on Fox Business, is here to comment on the little we know right now about the intention of the American economy and the larger amount we know about the intention of the Federal Reserve. Liz, a very good evening to you. The economy is waiting for the Federal Reserve to catch up and solve inflation. Bloomberg over the weekend indicated that the Federal Reserve is now focused on 0.75-point rise in the next meeting momentarily. Is that understood as adequate to the challenge that the Federal Reserve has? This is monetary policy, and the Biden administration has with its intention in fiscal policy to either raise taxes or to hand out more cash to needy parts of the economy. Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Well, you've just sort of summarized what a muddle we're in, and I think it's fair to say we are in a recession, on the brink of a recession, or we'll muddle through without a recession. So that it's about as definitive as most people are right now. The Fed is, yes, probably going to raise rates 75 basis points at their meeting on the 26th, 27th of this month. But that Bloomberg report came in the wake of people thinking it might be as much as a 100 basis point increase, which would be pretty shocking, but that's kind of the point. I think the Fed really wants to impress upon markets, upon consumers, upon businesses, that they mean business, that this is the number one priority of the Fed right now. They're not worried about the jobs market. They're worried about stemming inflation, which after the June reports of 9.1% consumer price index increase and 11.2% producer price increase was way worse than expected. So I think the Fed pivoted very quickly from, yes, we're going to be doing steady increases throughout the rest of the year, to we have to have some shock treatment right now. And so there was a lot of talk about 100 basis point rise. So now I think that's backed off. Why is it backed off? Because there are a number of commodity prices, not the least of which is gasoline, which have begun to back down. Wheat is down. CRB index of commodities is trending down. There are a lot of reasons to think that we have seen peak inflation. Now, John, we've heard that before, right? And somehow the numbers tend to come in worse than expected for several consecutive months. But I think the Fed is going to be looking at two things. One, indications that the economy broadly is slowing. We just got today a report on housing starts, which was definitely worse than expected. Housing starts were down 2% versus an expectation that they'd be up about 1.5%. But there are many, many indicators that the economy is slowing. The Fed has to take that into account. It may be that because of the Fed's aggressive talk and the fact that they did have, after all, one 75 basis point increase already, that the markets are kind of anticipating expectations about inflation are coming down. And in fact, that's what the numbers show. Consumers are a little bit more tempered in what they see as inflation 2 to 5 years out. And I think policymakers are kind of reading that as already the Fed's job or the Fed's effort are helping. Economists are saying that we're possibly still looking at sustained 1% growth and that we're going to muddle through here without a recession. I don't think anybody really knows, and I'm not even sure it really matters. I think what matters more, certainly what matters more to investors, is whether companies are still going to be reporting decent earnings, is inflation eating up all consumer spending, et cetera. It's really more right now for investors about what the companies are looking at. And so this earnings cycle that we're in, John, I think is very important. I would note, just because I read this morning, and I find this really interesting, cash levels amongst investors are the highest since 9/11. Think about that. Through all the, that includes the period of time during the housing crisis back in 2007-08. So investor cash levels now are the highest since the attacks of 9/11. I find that's a stunning assertion if that's true. Also, this is, I think, data coming from Bank of America, the equity allocations, that is the amount of money that institutional investors are putting into stocks, are the lowest since the Lehman Brothers crisis. So it's conceivable that the market has overreacted to the possibility of a downturn, overreacted to how aggressive the Fed is going to have to get if, in fact, in the next month, we see inflation numbers begin to recede, which, of course, the administration is hoping for and predicting, but also a lot of economists are predicting that, too, just kind of the way the numbers work. You know, I think you could set the stage for a pretty big market rally come fall.
Right. The cash is the fuel for a market rise. And
right.
A buildup of right. cash is a contrary indicator, except when it isn't. That's what I love about the market. whatever rules you've got, we've got another one for you. Now, Liz, back to where we are in the global economy, because the U.S. must fit in with its trading partners. Europe looks to be in really tattered shape, not only because of the Ukraine conflict and the explanation from Gazprom, a creature of the Kremlin, that there will be a suspension of natural gas for X number of days, reminding Europe that it is entirely dependent on Russia's generosity to turn the taps on and off. But the ECB, the European Central Bank, the equivalent of Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve, is now entertaining a half-point rise. Why that sounds significant to me is because they've had negative rates for years. They have to raise rates to get above zero. The European Union is understood to grow slower than the U.S. They have different rules. It's a different organization. But do you sense that even the European Central Bank has understood that what happened in 21 is unacceptable, that they went on too long hoping for peak inflation, and they now have to catch up? There's almost panic at the ECB, which I do not hear from the Federal Reserve.
Well, I think it's a little panicky because they don't know what to do. They've got this emergency, as you rightly point out, on energy, not just price, but availability. They really have no great backdrop or backstop in terms of where they're going to get power. They're talking about a major industrial recession in Germany, the powerhouse engine of Europe. And I don't think they saw it coming. I mean, it's sort of remarkable to me that they didn't see it coming, considering that they're at war with Europe, basically. But now they really have a major problem. Obviously, when electricity rates are six times higher in Germany than in the U.S., they have a massive problem in terms of exports and competitiveness. The good news is that the euro is very cheap. It's almost at parity with the dollar. So that's helping those countries. But you also have, once again, Italy presumably on the brink of a political crisis, because Italy is always on the brink of a financial crisis. And when interest rates start to go up, spreads widen out in Italy's bond markets, and you could have some massive failures. So Europe is really in trouble. It all has to do with this war. And I just have to think, John, in the next 6 months, I don't know how this will happen, but Europe will prevail on Ukraine to have some sort of settlement, because they cannot watch every Western economy be trashed by this ongoing conflict, which seems to have no plan for winning or for victory against Russia. NATO has stood up to Russia, but it hasn't dominated or really decided to go all in and in any way militarily. So, at some point they have to draw a line in the sand with Ukraine and say, okay, this has to stop. Let's figure out how we make that happen. Otherwise, I don't know what happens to the European economies. My guess is they'll certainly be in recession, but how deep that recession is, how long it lasts, we don't know. And by the way, that's obviously a tremendous drag on the U.S. economy, major export markets, et cetera. So, you know, this is Not only do we have all these other problems going on, but the war in Ukraine really continues to be a big, big problem.
I underline that it is, I believe, 71 days till October 1st in the beginning of the fall season in Northern Europe when heat is necessary. But right now, we have climate news in the UK touching 40 degrees centigrade. Translation, that's over 100 degrees in a culture that is not built to air itself out, to have verandas and strolls. Also, the energy demand right now is intense, Liz, because of the air conditioning that does exist. I have a report from my colleague in London that it's zombie apocalypse on the street. Nobody's out, although it looks crowded compared to the depths of the pandemic. We're talking about a culture that's already economically in trouble. I'm meaning Great Britain as a representative of the rest of Europe, and now is teetering even deeper into it because of the demand on energy and the lack of solutions. The Bank of England is another universe. However, Liz, you mentioned Draghi. I want to run through the list of woes here. Draghi's on his way out, he says. Johnson is gone. Emmanuel Macron is now compromised by Marie Le Pen, who favors Moscow. And in Germany, who knows about Olaf Scholz? He has the Greens telling him he can't turn or keep the nuclear power plants on. He has the Greens forgiving coal-fired electricity plants some days. And he's under pressure from the industrial machine that drives Germany that put him in office to say, we've got a recession. What do you think you're doing? All that adds up to settlement now, Liz, because there's catastrophe later. Do you hear in New York, we're not talking about Washington's only hear rosy scenarios. Do you hear in New York that the Ukraine conflict must end now?
Not particularly. I don't think Americans are as focused on it as the Europeans are because we're not paying a very big price for it, John. I mean, everyone's aware, yes, that energy markets have been roiled by this conflict. Biden keeps blaming Putin and the Ukraine war for all the things that are going wrong in the U.S., but I think Americans are kind of tuning that out. This has to come from Europe. Europe is vulnerable, and Europe is engaged in this conflict in a way that really the United States is not. We're writing big checks, but let's face it, Americans are used to our government writing big checks without much contribution from the rest of the country. So I don't think this is center stage at all for the United States. We're certainly not hearing people campaign on this in the midterms. You know, it's pretty mute.
We'll turn to what is important in the United States right now, which is the price of gasoline undermining the price of food with Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. I'm John Batchelor.